Amen. Before we can open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, just I'm going to read a few scriptures and then we'll just pray in this area. Before we read the scripture, God knows how to encourage us. And sometimes no testimony is too small when God knows what you need. We all always want to pray. We want to pray and we want to see what we're praying for, see results, see instant answer to what we're praying for. And God does that. But many times the things we're praying for are already, God is doing them. Some of them we might not be able to see, and God is manifesting them. This last few weeks, there was a friend of mine that was really believing for outstanding miracles in their job, in the place where they were. Everything that they were asking for was almost impossible. So when they were planning for their end of year board meeting, we had intercessors praying. He had paid intercessors. These are retired people. He just provided money. Just said, please pray. This is important. He called me. Everybody was praying. And for the first time, even though he's experienced a lot of things, he says, this is for my first time I've seen what looks like a miracle. Everything he submitted, everything he asked for, everything he proposed, everything was taken care of, was answered. And these were things that were directly opposite their expectation. All the board members that were thinking of resigning stayed on board because they could not believe the miracle. It was an amazing miracle. God increased their giving to added $10 million to their giving next year, to what they want to do. So it was just amazing. And he was so excited and just beside himself. Amen? But that's not the testimony I wanted to share. The testimony that encouraged me on my way here, just some things God just does that touches your heart. Me answering the call to serve God was not motivated by anything. Because I know we get saved, there's no place better than heaven. So outside of being in the presence of God and just enjoying God, that's wonderful, having intimacy with God. But I know the reason we're here is to see God lift burdens, is to see God heal people, set people free, alleviate people from pain and from poverty and whatever it is. When we are whole like this, or perceive whole, we are doing okay health-wise, sometimes we don't really understand when people are in pain and really going through unbelievable pain and suffering. I went to Washington, D.C., and, because I cry about these things a lot, and God always saying, don't worry, the time is coming. This is still a transition time. But we went to D.C., and all these intercessors and leaders and people were there, just like us, and everybody's enjoying and fine. But I took notice, I didn't notice this person initially, a young boy. The mom is a Nigerian, and this young boy is a Nigerian. I saw him on the table, but I didn't know he just had his head like that. But, I thought, I didn't know what was happening. And it was when we took a break, and we went downstairs. I saw him sitting around some people. That's when the mom finally came to myself and one of the leaders and said, please, sir, I came with my son, and this my son has been suffering for a long time, for years, and I brought him. Please, can you people pray for him? And we looked where he was, and that's when I first took notice that something unusual was happening. The boy was literally being tormented, just tormented. He is an adult boy, but he was just not in his, just tormented, was not in his right mind, and occasionally he will act a certain way, and then he will stay quiet. He will just keep his head like that. And so we knew that doing anything at that moment will cause a lot of, you know, you just have to know exactly when to do stuff. And that to take the person aside like Jesus does, or put some people outside. So we told him, okay, let's finish what we're doing here. I told him, definitely we'll pray for her, for him later. So as the program continued and we're doing different things, one thing led to the other, and the things escalated, and we didn't have time. And at the end, when they finished everything, I remember the young boy, everybody was getting about to leave, almost 11 p.m. at night. So I went to the young boy. I knew what the problem was, and I didn't feel like that was a good place to start praying, and people are leaving. So, but the compassion and the condition was just something you can't walk away from. So I started praying with the young boy briefly, and just at least to relieve, for the Lord to relieve, at least relieve him a little bit from the torture and the torment. So we prayed, and he got some relief, and I finished. But in my heart, when you do deliverance, let me use that word, it's not something you just do halfway. But I just committed it to the Lord, and I told the mom that, I gave her my phone number. I said, you will call me, and then we're just going to go from there. So I came back to Cleveland, and the next day, as I got to Cleveland, we just drove, got there Monday night. The next day, Tuesday, I was resting. I answered the phone, and it was the mother. And she said, Pastor, you know, that's why you have to know how God works. That's partly why I want to share this scripture also. Say, Pastor, from the moment you prayed, the thing has gotten worse. Since you prayed yesterday, my son has never been this way before. He said, now he can't even sit down. He's trying to climb the wall. He's trying to do all kinds of things. He can't even, he's screaming, he's shouting. He said, I've never seen him this way ever since, till after you prayed. I said, I understand. And he said, when we came back, he can't even sleep. He said the mom couldn't go to work that day. He said, I can't leave him in this condition. So I said, okay. He says, if you want, I will just fly him down. We'll just fly down, right? Because I wanted to say, just bring him here, because it's not something. But the Lord was showing me, says, there is no distance in the spirit. So, and that's what I was feeling about his situation. Initially, they said it was medication. The doctors have drugged him. But I knew it wasn't medication. The medication had its own part. To cut the long story short, the boy himself said to the mom, Mom, this is not medication. Because, you know, when you're tormented, you know what's going on inside of you, even though medication was part of it. So I just took the phone, and the Lord just gave me, there's no need for them to come down here because it was very bad. So we started praying. And the Lord led me to pray and just did deliverance right there on the phone. And I noticed a big change. The boy, you know, God did something, started working on him. And we prayed for a long time. I stopped everything I was doing, just like doing normal deliverance in any house, you know, stop, clear my schedule. And we prayed for a long time, and I felt peace and felt a release. And I knew God has taken care of him. And his statements were a little bit different, and he was doing fine. And he felt better and quiet, and the mom took the phone, and we praised the Lord and left it. But I told him they should call me every Friday so we can keep praying, because I have so many other things I'm doing. And then the mom called that evening and called again and said, he started again. I said, no problem. Just keep thanking God and keep praying. Just leave it. I know what God has done, and we'll continue to pray. So I prayed a little bit with her and prayed with the boy and left it. And that time, the boy was now reciting scriptures, quoting the Bible, speaking, just confessing, speaking, and I prayed with him, I encouraged him, just keep doing that. Because now I knew the spirit has been broken. It's now transitioning. So anyway, to cut the long story short, he called again. This is the second time I'm cutting it short. They called a few days the other day. The mom left a message. He says, "Pastor, I'm not calling for prayer this time. I'm just calling to let you know something is happening." She left a message. So I left. So on my way to church this morning, a phone rang. I didn't recognize the phone number, but I just picked it up. And it was the boy himself that called. This boy is normal. Talking to me, he's in his right mind. He's a normal person. He said, "This is Kelechi." I said, "Wow." I said, "How are you?" He said, "Fine." He was just talking. He was just amazingly normal. We just was conversing and talking. And you can't have a conversation with him before. He wasn't. And he was just talking. I was like, "Amen." I was so happy. And I said, "Where's your mom?" He said, "She's here." And the mom picked up the phone. All she could do was, she couldn't stop singing and say, "Pastor, this is not my son. This is my restored. This is a miracle son. This is God has done." I mean, who knows how many years that has been. And the mom was just like, she was trying to say all kinds of things. I says, "Continue to give God the glory and continue to thank God." And they just continued. And I just wanted to share that because after that testimony, you know, the mom cried, and I don't know who knows how many years, whether from childhood or whatever. But as I was coming here, the Lord reminded me there is need. And that's the reason why God is calling people to wait to serve him, because he wants to meet these needs. And these are serious needs. These are needs that the medical world has given up on. So I just also want to thank God for doctors. Tonight, God was just giving me so gratitude for doctors. If it weren't for doctors, I'm telling you, you know, the world doesn't know about God. And two, even in the church, because we're not where we're supposed to be, only God knows how much he's used doctors to elevate a lot of disasters and pain. And people, even before God came true, what doctors have, God has used medication and doctors to preserve until now. So I really thank God for people who are studying medicine, and it's a special ministry of his own. And I really thank God for the way God uses doctors in amazing, amazing, amazing gift technology to preserve life and keep people from pain until God is able to, you know, get to those people's need. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So that put a little tears in my eyes, because those were the kind of things that, you know, we are going to see. But God, every time God says, "Just, it's not time." Just, not that he won't do things, but I know what I've seen by vision is going to do some amazing miracles in our generation. And I'm just crying, because that's what it's about, you know. And that reminds me, too, to say this. There is nothing like mothers. I'm telling you, I thank God for fathers. I mean, I'm a father. I know the heart of a father. I have a father, and I've been with a lot of parents, but I know the makeup of a man and a woman. But there's something, every experience I've had, everywhere I've gone, is always moms that are crying and, you know, are desperate. And they will look at that woman that was crying to Jesus with a daughter. He has a husband, but this woman will not let Jesus go, and just crying and crying. And there's just something about moms. They carry the pain of their children up to, it's almost like they, whatever their children is going through, whether it's hell, they will go to that hell with their children and come bring that child back to heaven. And the heart of a mother is the closest thing to the heart of an intercessor. Moms are just amazing. Amen. So I just thank God. Look at this woman. How she will, who knows how many years has been carrying this boy and carrying the pain and working so hard and doing all these things. Let's just take a moment and just thank God for moms. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you so much. We thank you. You have blessed us so much. You are our Father. You are everything. And Father, I thank you for your wisdom that you have placed your heart in the heart of parents. You have given the fathers a heart and you've given the moms a heart. And Father, I thank you that in this, oh God, you have put such a nature of compassion, an emotional emotional life, a compassion, a work in the heart of mothers, in the heart of moms, oh God. Father, we thank you this day for single moms, the women who carry both the shoulders of a man and a woman. We thank you for married moms. For Father, today we just say thank you. Teach us to learn something about your heart from these moms that never gives up, never is ashamed, never lets go. No matter what their children are still the best in their eyes. Their children are still seen with an unconditional love. Father, thank you. Father, we lift up every single mom, wherever they may be, that are carrying so much burden. Father, we lift them up tonight. We pray for your encouragement. We pray for moms in general. We pray just for your support, for your strength. Father, give them a reason to be comfortable, to feel a relief that you are pleased with what you put in their hearts for their children. We are grateful. And we thank you for our fathers, Father. We just are just highlighting our moms tonight, and we commit them to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to encourage us, you know, I mean, it's amazing how the Spirit of God leads. I know the Lord is just leading us tonight. Take some time in this month and just call your parents. Amen. And just specially, just let them know how grateful you are. It's a month of Thanksgiving. Just do your best to be thankful to your parents. Amen. And take the time to be thankful to your parents. And just let them hear that from you, that you really appreciate them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open to, if you already opened to it, Matthew chapter 4. Let's read from verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. He was very hungry, starving. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written," that's Jesus, "it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of what? God." Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sits him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. The devil is quoting the scriptures now. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answered, It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, the glamour, and said unto him, All these things will I give to thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. In some other verse, he says, because it's been given to him, yes, from the fall of Adam. Verse 10, Then says Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou what? Serve. Amen. I'll read a few more scriptures, but let me say this. It won't take time, and we'll pray. But this is very, very important. And the Lord just was bringing that back to me. You see here, he says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So as long as we live in this world, we will face temptation. As long as we live in this flesh, we will face temptation. We will face testings and trials as long as we live in this flesh. And every one of the temptations or trials or circumstance, every situation we face, as long as we live in this flesh, will be categorized into one of these three temptations. Every temptation will ask you a question. One, if you're the Son of God, that's what everything will challenge you. But each of the, every trial we face, if you put them into categories, every trial will fall into one of these. And every one of them will fall into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three categories that every temptation, every trial will fall into. Amen? So Jesus was taken to be tested. And this is God manifested in the flesh. And he gave us a solution, an answer to overcome every trial, every circumstance, every temptation that we'll ever face while we're in this flesh. And the solution is nothing, just one thing he gave us here is the Word of God. The Word of God. Amen. The devil came the first time. He tempted him on the area of the lust of the flesh, food, anything relating to what your body needs. Everything that we need in this life is categorized into that care, that area of the care of life. It's what people are working for, people live for. He tempted me on that level. And Jesus used the word. He says, it is written. He did not say any other thing. He didn't challenge him. He spoke the word. He spoke the word to the circumstance, to the situation. See, in our situation, the devil is not going to come to you directly. This was probably through a vision, or because it took him through various ways, through many ways he tempted him. But this was a clear temptation, and Jesus knew that. Whatever situation that we find ourselves, it is a voice of temptation. It's a trial. And God is saying, every temptation, whether it's the lust of the flesh, there is a scripture, there is a word from God to deal with that, to address it, to provide to. And then the next one, he takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple, spiritual, and the devil quoted scripture. It is what? Written. Meaning religious temptation, spiritual temptation. And he says, now that you're up there, you know, the Bible says you can jump down. He said, that's what the Bible says. Satan said, quoted the scripture. He said, this is what the Bible says. If you jump down from that place, you will not be hurt. Because it is written, God will send his angels, they will hold you. So, but Jesus did not just say it. He again says, it is what? Written. That you should not tempt the Lord. In other words, don't do what God has asked you not to do. Or don't always presume things when God has not told you to do them. Amen? And this area is in the temptation of spiritual pride. And, you know, spiritual temptation, spiritual pride. You know, sometimes, you remember the Bible says, Jesus only did what the Father asked him to do. You know, don't take advantage of people because you're, you know, whatever it is in the area of spiritual temptation. It's in the area of God using you or standing on the word of God, misusing or abusing or using the word of God for personal gain. You know, so here is a spiritual temptation. And the Lord again, on pride, the Lord again told him, it is written, you cannot tempt the Lord. And then he took him to the mountain. Every temptation went. And then he showed him the world, the glory of the world, the riches. This is the glamour, the lust of the flesh. This one combined both the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And then again, it combines spirituality. He says, all these things I will give to you if you worship me. There are people who have done that, and they truly possess the wealth of the world, power and stuff. People do that in a cult. They worship the devil, and he gives them things, but they pay for it. So Jesus says, he rebuked him now, says, no, it is what? Written. Thou shalt only worship the Lord. Quoted Deuteronomy. Quoted the Bible again. Every scripture, you know, Psalms, you know, he quoted the Bible. He didn't just say, because he spoke the Bible. Amen? So the Lord was showing me we are living in the last days where darkness is growing worse and worse. And it's very important for us to speak the word. To know the word so that we can speak the word. And to begin to use the word of God in every situation we find ourselves. To stand on the word in every condition we find ourselves. To really use the word. So now, how does that... I wanted to read quite a few scriptures, but some of the scriptures that I want to mention, you know them. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, he said, the word of God is alive, is quick, and is sharper. It's alive and powerful. It's very powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. How many of you know that scripture? That it can pierce even to the dividing of the souls, and it can discern the intents of human hearts. You all know that scripture. So you all know that the word of God, he says, the word of God is sharper than two-edged swords. Amen? Now, again, in the parable of the sower, every one of those trials that he talked about, the sower sows, he says, every one of them, he says, the devil, or he's used the word Satan in some of the gospel, came for the word, to take the word away. Amen? The purpose of the trial is to take the word away, to silence the word, to take it away, to nullify that word. Are you the son of God? Are you this? Are you the child of God? Do you believe in God? Do you still believe in miracle? Do you believe in healing? Do you believe in God being your provider? Do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? That's what the circumstances are asking us. Amen? And then Jesus did not want to use any. He just says, what did the Bible say? It is written. It is written. So we speak this to our mind. Now, again, the Bible says in Revelation 19, he said, you know, when we talked about Jesus coming, say his name is called the Word of God, and he was riding on a white horse, and with him was all these armies coming from heaven. And he says he has in his mouth, how many of you know that? In his mouth, he says, came forth a sharp two-edged sword, a sharp sword. Amen? Proceeded out of his mouth. He says, with which he smite the nations, and with a rod of iron. How many of you know that scripture? Okay. He says, out of his mouth came a sharp sword. That's Revelation 19. Amen? Now, that word out of his mouth came a sharp sword. And then, in Hebrews 4, he says the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. Amen? Why is all these scriptures being used that way? Because in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. That word wrestle means war, fight, a fight. Amen? But then it talks about all these armors of the enemy. The armor. You were talked about this armor, the helmet and the breastplate and all this stuff. But the key here that he used, the weapon by which the Holy Ghost can fight in that place is what? The Word of God. In Ephesians 6, it says, having the helmet of salvation and the sword of what? The Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. So the Lord just quickened me. He says, the Word of God is a sword. It's a sharp sword. But it is not the sword that we handle, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So here is a weapon. Here is, you have a weapon.